This podcast was brought to you by Future ADHD, planners that take the pressure off so that you'll actually use them. La 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 la. Hello and welcome to Your ADHD Besties, the podcast for people who put the BDE in RSD, which doesn't actually make sense, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, we know
it. If you've got it, you know it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm.
I am Tara Brusso, dietitian and diagnosed ADHDer.
And I am Grace Coolmer, the founder of Future ADHD, teacher and diagnosed ADHDer as well.
Did you forget your lines then?
I did.
You did well. You pulled, no, honestly, no one would have noticed.
No, my eyes flickered momentarily. So, how are you? How was your week?
My week was bad.
Just bad. Just a bad one.
Honestly, it was just a crappy week. Nothing specifically. I mean, we've got little bits and pieces going on, but it's just boring. But what I wanted to talk about was that the reason I said bad is because I struggle with that word that we can never pronounce. And I might need to get Google to say it for me again. What is it? Alexithymia? Alexithymia?
It sounds like Alex's thyroid to me.
Alex's thyroid. I struggle with that. No, Alexithymia. It's A-L-E-X-I-T-H-Y-M-I-A.
Okay. This is just a big word. What does this mean?
It's something that people with ADHD can struggle with. It's that inability to label your emotions or really understand how you're feeling. Mm. And I will often say I feel bad or sad or good.
Yeah. And
it's or like, I don't know. I always have the same. I notice if people are like, how are you feeling about this? It's like, I remember being pregnant and being like, I'm so excited. And I would just say that because I knew that's the thing that you meant to say.
Mm,
and
interesting.
Like, obviously I was excited, but I just can't always connect with my emotions that well.
Were you also feeling like saying I'm excited because you knew you had to say that, but then kind of second guessing yourself and being like, is this what I should feel like if I'm excited? Like, are you trying to like question feelings?
Yeah, we just find it really hard. We find it harder than the average person to actually know, to determine that feeling. Mm-hmm. So
And I feel like as well, that's because we live in our heads a lot.
Yes.
And we're not connected to our bodies.
Yes.
And a lot of emotions, you feel them in your body.
We're cerebral. Yeah. It's, so this week I've just summed it up as feeling bad, but it's just been a crappy week and now I'm here and we're doing this. I'm having a lot more fun. So
this is one of our favorite parts of the week.
Yes. So moving on.
Okay. We'll move on.
How is your
contact from you right now?
I want to hear better things than what I just said.
Oh, babe. That's okay. We've all been there. I think it's very, reassuring.
It is
for people.
Very normal.
Very normal. We try not to mask at all on this podcast because like who has time for that?
No.
Okay. My week. So I had a pretty big milestone week in my little ADHD world.
Yes.
So I was diagnosed 2 years ago by a psychologist,
mm-hmm.
but the wait list to see a psychiatrist in Australia is hideous. It can be up to 2 years.
Yes.
And so I told myself I didn't need medication and lucky I stayed on the wait list to see a psychologist though, because I realized very quickly that as much as I love breath work, as much as I love nervous system regulation and running and all of the things like good diet, though my diet hasn't been great lately. I feel the need to like confess because you're a dietitian. My diet hasn't been great.
But also if you don't have enough dopamine, like carrots aren't going to be able to fix that.
It's all like and then sleep as well. Like there's so many parts to it, but basically I was like, I just also need medication.
Yeah.
So this week, finally, my appointment rolled around to see the psychiatrist and you drove me up to Perth because you're amazing.
I am amazing.
And I needed a body double for that appointment because, yes, you are.
Because
I needed the body double because like just having to drive 7-hour round trip to see the psychiatrist, I was and just like, I don't know, I was just feeling overwhelmed and you were like, I'm just going to drive with you and do it with you. And we're going to do our podcast up there, which we did, which was fun.
Yeah, we did some work on the way.
We did.
So you got your diagnosis.
I did. And so now I have medication.
Yay.
For ADHD, which I'm only in like the first day of trying it actually today. Woohoo. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a fun day to be recording.
It is.
I should have led with this, babe. Buried lead.
Yes. It's very late to be recording. I think that's why. Yeah. My brain's
my meds have worn off now. So, yes, but earlier in the day they were great.
Yes.
And I was very I was eyeballing you a lot. Like, we can do stuff.
She was focused.
We're focused.
She had a lot of things that she was ticking off a list.
I was pretty intense, actually, wasn't I?
I enjoyed it. It was okay. Great.
Thanks, babe. Thanks for the affirmation that meds was the right direction after all this time. So, yes, that's me.
Yes.
That's my week.
But just a little anecdote from Grace getting her diagnosis. She, this is so the ADHD brain. She came out of the thing. She came out of this, like, very important to her life, like, pivotal moment of getting her diagnosis with a psychiatrist. And she comes out and she goes, oh my God, babe, his desk was just so big. Like, I just felt like I was sitting at the other side of the room from him. And I'm like, yeah, but what about the diagnosis? And she's like, I don't know. I just felt really weird the whole time because he was so far away from me.
Yeah,
That is not.
I had to shout at him. I was like, hello there. And it was just.
She was dysregulated by the seating plan massively. In the office, which I didn't expect, but it checks out.
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny, like, the things that stand out to you on a day like that, like me coming out and reflecting on that. It's, yeah, obviously I was just overwhelmed and dysregulated in the psych appointment, which was appropriate because then I was fully ADHD and not masking at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I actually, that just reminded me because I just wanted to share a little RSD moment.
Oh, please do.
I love hearing other people's RSD moments because then you don't feel like
a weirdo.
Yes.
All the time.
So when Grace went to her appointment, she dropped me off at a friend's place and so that I could have lunch with her during the hour and a half that she was having the appointment. And as I was getting out of the car, my friend came up, she said hi to Grace. And then as we were walking off, she goes to me, oh my God, I'm so excited that I get to have you to myself. Mm. And I knew that she meant because we both have young kids and so they've always been running around and stuff. And so we don't often get to actually have a really good sit down and chat, but I RSD'd the whole lunch. I still enjoyed it and I loved hanging out with her because she's gorgeous, but I RSD'd the whole lunch about the fact that I thought Grace thought that she meant she was glad that Grace wasn't coming with us.
Because I've never met her before. So I was just like, dropped you off, was like, hi, nice to meet you. And then,
then I saw Grace after the appointment. She was like, what? No, I didn't think that. I knew she meant like, because she misses you and because you guys always have kids around. And I was like, oh, I just wasted an hour and a half worrying about this.
Oh, babe.
But this is ADHD. Why do we do this to ourselves? Such is ADHD. Mm.
Yes. Well, thanks for sharing.
Thanks.
I feel seen. Okay. So.
Yes. I'm just going to rustle around on the bed. Yeah.
I love. We always record on the bed.
We have to.
Because we actually tried at a desk. For our first app, and we felt like we're in straitjackets.
No, and also I just had to move all the time.
Yeah. So bed means that we can wriggle and we have little mics that are attached to our face so we don't have to be in front of anything.
How dare you call them little mics? They are Britney mics.
Britney mics.
And they
shalt
not be referred to by any other name.
Yeah. And before every podcast, we do a Britney rendition.
A little Britney moment. We don't, but I wish we did.
We should actually, babe. La, 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 la. Let's jump into recs. Do you have a rec for me this week, babe?
I do have a rec because I come prepared.
Oh, of course,
only to
babe.
This is the first time. So my rec is a beauty prod,
yes.
Which we haven't recommended yet. And I was very excited.
Love a beauty prod rec.
It is by Maybelline. Mm-hmm. It's the Maybelline 3-Day Brow Gel.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a Maybelline Tattoo. I think it's Tattoo or something like that, but it's a 3-Day Brow Gel.
Yeah.
It's really, I love this. I don't use it every day, but I do use it on days where I know that I'm going to have to get up really early or I'm not going to be prepared or just it can help me out in those times just to make me feel a little bit more put together. If I know I have to get up early and things like that. So it basically you put it on, you leave it on for 15 minutes and then you peel it off and then your jowls.
So
your gel,
double use.
You tattoo your jowls on.
Wow, babe.
I love a good jowl.
Revolutionary.
So you brows.
Yes.
Put on your brows, peel it off. And then your brows are all beautifully done and it lasts about 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it.
I do feel like brows are so crucial. So that's why I love this rec.
Yes.
Okay.
Your turn. What's your rec?
So my rec this week is I thought I would go an auditory rec because I'm a very auditory seeking person and I get very obsessed with certain tracks and certain music and then I'll play them on repeat. And this one I thought I'd recommend this week because it's got a gorgeous bit of ASMR at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if the artist intended it to be great for neurodivergence or not, but this is a song by Jacob Collier and it's called Cinnamon Crush. And so you can find it obviously on Spotify or wherever you get your music. But Cinnamon Crush, the beginning of it is just this gorgeous sound that I'm obsessed with. And as soon as I hear it, it makes me feel relaxed. It makes me feel creative. So I'm obsessed with Cinnamon Crush. So yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Go and check it out.
He's
a genius musician. I love a lot of his music. Some of it's pretty intense and then a lot of it's just incredible. But yeah, Cinnamon Crush. Definite recommend for ASMR and then just generally good music vibes.
Beautiful. He's won like a million Grammys, hasn't he?
He has. He is a prodigy musician. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Certified.
Okay. So let's get into our dilemmas for this week.
Little dilemmas. I can't wait. We've got some good ones today. I mean, we always have good ones because I just love other ADHD brains. I think I say that every week.
Yes.
Here we go. Let's go. La, 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 la. So I think before we get into it,
yeah,
we need to have a disclaimer.
Yes, I agree.
Because we might go rogue. In fact, we will go rogue.
Going rogue is kind of my favourite. But probably best to just disclaim away.
Yes.
Okay, so how about this? Take everything we say with a neurodivergent grain of salt.
Yes, an enormous grain of salt, like a salt lamp sized grain of salt. Take that salt lamp. Throw it through a window. That's how much you should pay attention to what we're saying.
But don't actually throw it through a window, though.
Oh, yeah. Very good point. See, that's a really good example of why you shouldn't take our advice.
Case in point. But, yeah, we're not professionals and enjoy.
It is dilemma time, Grace, and this week we have three dilemmas.
Are we going to give people a little teaser before we get into it?
Yes, that is exactly what I was about to do.
Tell me, what have we got in store?
Okay, so first up, we're talking about why a lot of ADHDers are drawn to walking red flags mm-hmm. and why we might be in toxic relationships. Mm-hmm. Then we're looking at office organization and doom boxes.
Decluttering.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, we're going to be answering a wonderful question about binge eating, which is your forte.
You will be answering. Part of the dietitian will be answering a question about binge eating at mm-hmm. the end. Yeah.
So let's get into it.
So first up, I have a question from an anonymous person mm-hmm. and they say, hi girls, loving the pod and the dilemmas.
Oh, we love you.
So I have a question about toxic personality types, because I feel like I'm constantly getting into relationships with guys and girls, I'm bi, and it starts off amazing with so much obsession, but then I find myself getting hyperfixated on them and losing my sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
I love the beginning of relationships where people give me a million compliments and tell me I'm amazing. And then when I start to realize they're toxic, I cut and run, but then I keep picking these kinds of people again and again. Why can't I see the red flags?
Okay. Very good question.
It's a great question.
That we're not qualified to answer, but we're going to give it a red hot go.
Yes, we're not relationship experts. However, I think both of us have had experience with toxic.
We love a yarn. Yeah, we have. No, we have had experience with that. I think that when you look at it on the surface level, those relationships that start off with love bombing and all of that excitement, they give you way more dopamine,
yeah.
like a very simple mathematical equation.
Yeah. And ADHD brains are really sensitive to dopamine, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
So it would make sense then that the love bombing would be, I mean, I think everyone's susceptible to the sort of toxic love bombing that can happen at the beginning of that
Absolutely.
Kind of relationship. But
yeah.
ADHDers do talk about it a lot. So I mm-hmm. wonder if we're extra sensitive to it.
Yes. And we like to reward ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have low impulse control. I know when I first started dating my husband, he was one of the first really measured people that I'd been with. And I remember really clearly having this overwhelming feeling of, I just want to get into the nitty gritty. I want to have a baby with this guy. I want to move in with this guy. I didn't say these things to him initially, but I just was head over heels, right? And I was like, why is he not moving so fast as I want to move? And I could tell that he was into me in the same way, but he was so measured about it. And then I remember saying to him about a year and a half in, I just want to get married and I just want to get engaged. And him saying, I know that we have those really strong feelings and it's really exciting, but I plan to be with you for another 70 years. So
7 years or 70?
70.
Yeah, yeah.
70 years. He gets a 7 year itch and he's done.
Yeah. I was like, seven, that's harsh. Yeah.
And so, you know, if we do babies, engagement, all of those things up front, then we've got nothing left. And so it was really hard for me. And I had that, like, I really want to do it. I really want to do it. But it really helped me to sort of mediate that. And we got engaged then after 7 years because we were young as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad we waited. And I mean, that's not right for everyone, but it was right for us that he helped me to not just open all the gifts up front because it left excitement and him helping me to, you know, drip feed that excitement through was really important for that sustainability of our relationship.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that I would say in answering this question about toxic relationships is that, like, maybe if you're in a relationship or you're kind of moving from person to person searching for dopamine, that isn't going to be as sustainable. Because like you said about your husband, and it was similar with my husband too, sometimes if we want those more longer reaching relationships that span several years or a decade, they're not going to actually be filled with dopamine.
Yeah.
Because you, as an ADHDer, it's not really very healthy to expect someone else to be that source for us.
Yes. Yeah.
And so
yeah,
I think kind of the reason that you might get trapped with red flag people to this anonymous person that wrote in is because maybe you're looking for like all ADHDers need to find supplies of dopamine. That's kind of what we talk about a lot on this podcast and what's kind of commonly known in the ADHD space. But I think it's really healthy for us to try and find, you know, exercise or TV shows or hobbies or friendships, like multiple ways of being able to, you know, get that dopamine.
Yeah.
And if it's all focused on one person, then we're more susceptible to toxic love bombing.
Absolutely.
Because our sort of like our filter is wide open towards that person.
Yeah.
Whereas if we've distracted ourselves with lots of different sources and then we find someone that we really vibe with, but they might be a bit more chill, a bit more of a slow burn, that's really sustainable in the long run because as you said, they're not going to give it all away up front.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have a sort of more rounded approach to like having a life full of many sources of joy and of stimulation and curiosity and all the things that we look for in our life.
Yes.
And not just have that all focused on one person.
Yes. Also, with looking back on my past, with toxic relationships, although there's a lot more lows, those lows bring you down so that you get more highs a lot of the time. Like I know, you know, when people wouldn't text you back, you might hyper-focus on that and then be waiting for their text. And when their text finally does come, it's so exciting and you get this big rush and that can kind of keep you on this roller coaster because the downs mean that you get these ups and you're not realizing that you're living for that text or that maybe. I definitely feel like I have been guilty of finding a relationship more exciting when I don't know where I stand in the relationship.
Mm.
But in actual fact, as I've gotten older, for me, I've felt like there's so much excitement in things like stability, which sounds so boring to like a 20-year-old brain. And I get that. And I would have felt the same at that time, but there's no better feeling than that real roundness of dopamine where you just know that you've got the strength in your relationship and you can always go back to it and you've got this structure to fall back on and this trust and those sorts of things. This might only be my experience, but I do find that those become so much more exciting and fulfilling and give you so much more dopamine as you get older.
Yeah. But you almost have to rewire your brain as well to to like finding that satisfying because I think if you're going from relationship to relationship with very intense people who love bomb you or you love bomb them and you're just sharing all this stuff up front, then you have a big breakup, maybe that becomes overwhelming or there's toxic things coming. ADHDers, we're quite extreme people, and so once we've given and given and given, and if there's boundaries being crossed or if we're starting to feel like it's not what we wanted anymore, we'll just cut and run.
Yes.
And then we'll hit a dopamine low. And then that dopamine low is so extreme from the high that we had or even from the adrenaline that we had in the if it was a bit of a messy end, we can have a lot of adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And so we go into a dip and then we straight away start looking
for... Well, we're in a low, so we need to be pitched need the back high, up and by so that what would be healthiest, love bombing.
Yeah. What would be healthiest at that point is to find someone that's a bit more of a slow burn. Mm. But because we're so dopamine deficient, we will maybe run straight back into somebody who's going to give us all of that validation straight away up front again. And that's kind of where this cycle of red flags continues.
Yeah.
And so... I mean, again, we set up the front, we're not professionals. So definitely if you feel like this is a cycle for you, recognizing it's not your fault.
Yes, and there can be underlying real mental health stuff going on in a lot of these situations. So going to speak to a psychologist that can actually help you with, you know, schema therapy and things like that, that if that's appropriate.
I was going to say as well, like just so awareness of your patterns and behaviors is the first step, and they can often help shine a light on things that you have been unconsciously doing.
Yeah.
And then after you've got that awareness, then you can actually make steps out. And it might be another three relationships down the track until you actually do find a way to break that cycle, but you're at least aware and it might take some time.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I think something that my husband pointed out to me that has really helped me, because he understands my ADHD brain and gets what I need. And sometimes I will need those points of, you know, not gratitude, because the idea of gratitude journaling just makes me like, oh, I know it's good for me, but I don't want to do it.
Yeah, demand but, avoidance.
Yes, but he will sort of say, he would sort of say early on, you know, think about the fact that we have been happy for this amount of time and, you know, mark that and make sure that that's a point that you focus on.
Yeah, because that can be a dopamine source too.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just, oh, it's been 3 months and it's been same, same. And it's like, no, actually it's been 3 months and same, same means that we haven't been toxic. We haven't been fighting. Mm. So yeah.
I think we've given a lot of ideas.
Yes.
And this has been really good. And yes. I think, yeah, just to underline yet again, go and speak to a professional as well, because these are things that you are often conditioned with from a very young age in terms of attachment styles, in terms of being drawn towards toxic people, and they do take a while to untangle.
Yes.
And so professional help is invaluable.
And on that note, a lot of people don't realize that you can get psychological support through your employer for free. Some people can, not everyone, but some people can. So look into that, ask your workplace if they do provide that, because that's a fantastic way to do it. Also for ADHDers that are struggling to leave their homes, you can see psychologists online, over the phone. You can get help, I think these days, via text as well. So you can start the relationship with the psychologist or the therapist if you're in the US via text. There's a lot more avenues to that support now, and it doesn't have to feel so scary. And I see a psychologist and I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. And I like to hear that other people see a psychologist.
Yeah, I have done in the past too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It is. Advocate for that.
Yeah. It's so helpful. And sometimes it's just nice to be able to, as people who can often be really empathetic and want to just listen to other people talk, it can be nice to have a place where you're like, this is just all about me for once.
Yes.
And I'm just going to get it all out. And just getting it all out can be a really important thing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love that. La, 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 la. Okay. Shall we do the next dilemma?
Okay. My dilemma is from Ren. And she says,
I need to know the spelling because I'm thinking bird at the moment.
No, R-E-N.
Okay.
Yeah. And she says, I work remotely and my home office is so untidy and disorganized that I have to step over and around piles to get to my desk.
Mm, I feel that.
It's distracting and drives me crazy, but I get paralyzed when I look at how much there is to do.
Mm.
I also have no idea what to do first or how to do it. Sometimes cleaning clicks into place for me and I can do it like magic, but I have no idea how to induce that state of being. I also don't know how to maintain it after it's beautiful and clean. BTW, I hate, hate, hate it when I Google advice for cleaning and organizing and the first thing everyone says is to keep your desk clean and clear. F you. Love the podcast. Love y'all.
Oh, cute. Yeah, thanks, Ren. We love that. And that is an amazing question. I have lived that moment so many times, the highs, the lows, the magical cleaning moments, the want to crawl into a hole moments. I want to say up the front that cleaning.
Stop saying up the front.
Up the top? Okay.
I want to say up front.
I want to say up front that.
Sorry, Grace keeps saying up the front by accident and I've lost it. She wants to say up front.
I want to say, it's my brain's not braining today. I want to say up front.
Yeah.
That. I have no idea what I want to say up front right now. I've lost it, babe. What was I going to say? I was going to say. Okay. Yes,
you've
okay,
been
yeah.
there?
Yeah. Cleaning as an adult sucks because it's never, you never just clean it once. And I just want to really say on a rant that as an ADHDer, it sucks because you just have to keep re-cleaning it and re-cleaning it.
I hate that.
And it's like, it's oh, the worst kind of task because you know it's just going to get dirty
it's
again.
It's so futile. It's the futility. It's yeah. the existentialism of
the,
it.
The Sisyphus's rock analogy, which I explained to Tara a few days ago. Anyway, so there's that. But I have so many tips. Because this has been such a problem for me, I have tried literally everything.
Yeah.
So I want to start with my favorite tip.
Yeah.
Which is, I learned that I'm far more motivated to keep a space tidier. Doesn't mm-hmm. have to be pristine. It's not a museum. Tidier and clean when it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried working in like quick, you know, from working from home in like a tiny space or in a at my kitchen table or in a space that doesn't inspire me. Nothing. Yeah. Nada. I need to actually put in effort. So this mm-hmm. is the advice I would give. I would say put in some effort. And if you have a budget to put towards like even a couple hundred dollars, if you can afford it,
yeah.
otherwise marketplace, be thrifting, thrifty, like secondhand stores,
some paint,
borrowing off friends. Paint. Yeah. yeah. But whatever that is for you, if you can put some money towards actually going to IKEA, going to a furniture store, a storage store and getting yourself set up with art, with maybe some plants or artificial plants if you can't keep real plants alive, which is definitely me.
My hand is up.
painting, as Tara said.
Or cacti. Very forgiving.
Cacti. Like go into Kmart, go into Target, find some cute little decorative pieces. They don't have to cost a lot of money. And make your space gorgeous. Because as soon as it's something that you actually want to spend time in, that maybe you've got a Pinterest board and you've got some inspiration of what you want it to look like, I have found I'm far more likely to want to keep that space
yeah.
clean.
I've That's found my that.
First big tip.
Yes.
If you haven't already done that, and maybe you have, but that is definitely something that's helped me.
Yes. Storage that looks nice for me is worth the money, even though I never want to spend money on it because it just feels like one of those things that I just don't want to spend money on.
No.
And it's but I agree.
It can be quite expensive
it storage solutions. It is so expensive and it's always made out of MDF, like chipboard, yeah. and then it's like, ugh.
Yeah. But it's worth
and
it.
And it's still expensive. Yeah, no, it is. It is worth it.
And what was the tip you were telling me before about like labeling and stuff? What you were talking yeah, about the importance
so,
of.
So I, to help my brain. So we struggle with executive functioning.
Mm.
And so that can mean that someone else might go, this automatically goes here. You know, the yeah. spoons go in the left-hand side of the spoon drawer, yeah. the knives go in the middle, the forks yeah. go in the right-hand side. I actually don't know which. Is there a way?
Who cares? No, it's different for everyone.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
So someone who's neurotypical might go into the drawer and just know that, whereas we, our brain has to function to actually get back to that place, even though it's obvious and it happens every time the butter goes in the butter conditioner, whatever, even if that happens every time, we have to do that thinking. It's not just an automatic kind of muscle memory thing for us.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what has been really helpful for me is labeling things for where things go,
yeah.
especially when my brain's tired. So like I have hooks for where my kids' school bags go
yeah.
and then I know that they're there and that I can always go back to them being there. And when I'm going to put them on at the end of the day, when I'm really tired, I'm like, okay, that's there and that's yeah. there.
So you actually don't have to think. It's like then you can go into order.
Don't have to do think. I don't have to do think.
Don't do the thinking thing.
Yeah. So yeah. And same thing for, you know, scissors.
Yes.
Pens, pencils, like yeah. you can actually do it to that level.
Yeah.
And the more that you can do that, the more helpful it is to your brain. And it can seem a little bit, you know, over the top maybe for some people, but try it and see how you go.
Yeah.
Like I know labeling, you have your drawers labeled and it says like tops, socks on the yeah. outside of her drawers.
Oh, that's my husband's actually, yeah.
Oh, that's Eric's. Okay, yeah. so yeah. that's really helpful for when you come in and you're tired and you've got the washing and you've been yeah. thinking about something else or something's happened at work and your brain is, your subconscious can do that thinking then, because your hand just picks up a sock and it goes straight into the word sock, rather than you having to actually
do that thinking. Kind to our brains.
Really kind. And then I also have space for stuff that I just don't know what to do with. So I have like a big chest for Doombox stuff. And I'm like, I'll try and keep it as organized as I can, but also I have ADHD. So just I can leave myself alone a bit and just put some stuff in there and maybe once a year clean it out. Because sitting there with a box of, you know, unknowns, like what is this screw for? I don't like it's so stressful to our brains because so much executive functioning to think of all the different objects they came from.
And I was going to say as well, another tip for this home office situation is body doubling.
Oh my God, I was going to say body doubling too.
Yeah. So body doubling is working alongside someone in a physical space, or maybe they're just on video chat with you or on the phone with you.
Or it can be a podcast.
Yep. You can even be listening to our podcast and body doubling with us, which is what we already...
Just a gentle plug.
Which is what we hope that you'll...
No one even noticed you slip.
No.
Yes.
That's what body doubling is. And it means that you actually have that physical accountability buddy with you to help you get stuff done.
And you feel mentally supported.
Yeah, you've got that. And sometimes it can even be a dopamine source for ADHD is to have someone else in the space. Just like I do find as soon as someone's there with me, I'll get more done. It's a weird phenomenon.
If I want to do a deep clean, me and one of my best friends, Neans, we will call each other.
Yeah.
4-hour phone call.
Yeah.
Just talking about everything and nothing.
Yeah.
And both of our houses will end up just Marie Kondo level gorgeous.
Yeah.
Because we're on the phone for that whole time.
Together.
And we don't, you just don't notice it in the same way.
It gives you something to focus on.
Yeah.
So back to that idea of body doubling. So if you have somebody who's got a similar situation in their house with a room that's cluttered, say to them, hey, will you come help me for one Saturday? And I'll come help you the following Saturday or whatever. And I need someone to body double with me. I need to go to IKEA or I need to go to the store. I need to help you to help me like make some decisions, declutter some things. We're going to do this together. I need to label things. I've got to sort some things. And if that person just jumps straight in there with you and you get it done together and you have that accountability and then you help them as well, you actually get yourself set up all in one day.
Yes. One final tip. Do we have time?
Yes, we do. Always time for one more tip.
Okay. Final tip.
Yeah.
Our family, we have 2 young kids.
Yeah.
We have 1 ADHD and 1 suspected ADHD.
Yeah.
And what works really well for us is to set every night, we set a 10-minute timer.
Yeah.
And we all do varying levels. The 2-year-old, puts in 1 piece of Lego away, I think, in that 10 minutes. But we set the 10 minutes and we kind of go to ourselves, okay, let's see how much we can get done in this 10 minutes. And we all sort of frantically go around and clean. And it gives me dopamine because I'm racing against the clock. Mm-hmm. But also we will never do past that. So my thought is in my head, if I can clean up and make this all nice and I've only used 10 minutes out of my whole day, that is going to be such a reward that I don't have to clean anymore. And obviously you have to do the deeper cleans. And we actually even manage to vacuum because we do it every night.
Yeah.
We keep things vacuumed. We keep things dusted. And it works really well for us.
That's working with the body doubling and working with the adrenaline that ADHD is.
The adrenaline.
Love.
Yes. It's the adrenaline of, if I put my effort in here, I actually don't have to do more than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that has been so exciting to my brain.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. But we love you, Ren.
Yes, thanks for writing in.
Okay.
This person says, Tara, help, I cannot stop binge eating.
Mm-hmm.
I am 37 and I have been a yo-yo dieter and binge eater my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I have just been diagnosed with ADHD. I thought that all my problems would be fixed when I started Vyvanse, as I'd heard such good things about it for managing binge eating.
Mm-hmm.
And it has helped, but I still binge in the evenings when I come off it. And I feel like I eat a whole day's worth of food in the 3 hours after putting my kids to bed and going to bed myself. And then I'm having to deal with really painful reflux.
Oh.
Do you have any advice for how I can manage this? I thought that I had found the answer and now I'm feeling so ashamed as it hasn't worked for me like it has for others. Please keep me Anon X.
Oh, Anon. Cute. Firstly, we don't have a place for shame.
Never.
Not at all.
Never. We're gonna here.
Take that shame, throw it out the window because that's not, no. You have ADHD.
Yep.
And that makes living in a world that doesn't always cater to ADHD really hard.
Yep.
And
you're doing amazing.
You are. You have two kids and I'm sure you're managing a lot of other things, but you know, everyone's got stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And often I'll say to my clients, whether they're neurodivergent or not, we live in a time where our work-life balance is so out of whack. Mm. You know, we work the majority of our awake hours and then people berate themselves for not food prepping in the 2 hours that we have to ourselves before we go to bed.
Yeah.
And it's like, but what about the other, you know, pillars of health? And what about what about my hobbies and my crafts and those sorts of things? So
having time for yourself. Yeah.
Yes. And I also often get people going, I know what I need to do, but I just can't, you know, get around to doing it. It's like, yeah, because you want to also have a life. So I get it.
Yeah. And I think the other thing about the modern age is that we do know a lot. We have like, we're in the information age. And so sometimes you can feel like, I know I should be getting more sleep, eating better, like, you know, working on my childhood trauma and getting, you know, exercising.
Making sure my child doesn't get childhood trauma.
It's a lot of
gentle parenting.
Yeah. And so once you learn this stuff, particularly if you're an ADHD, because we're so intense and we're so earnest and we love learning, like it's really hard to just let that slide. And so it becomes overwhelming the more that you know, and then you just start to feel like I'm never going to make progress anywhere.
Absolutely. Oh, the things that I think that I could be getting done every day. So funny.
Yeah, which is exactly why we love our Reggie-Seggie Pipe Dream segment. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I haven't meditated for another 365 days.
Oh, well, what's one more?
So, firstly, binge eating and ADHD.
Yes.
So I work in this area. And I love working in this area. I love working with other ADHD women. I love when I run my course and I see people be validated for the first time and not feel ashamed and not feel alone because they hear someone else saying, you know, I get home and I binge, or I binge after this or I binge after that. And they go, oh my God, that's me too.
Yeah.
My first question for you, and I ask this of all of the people who do my course, is when you say that you're binging because you've come off the Vyvanse, I want you to think about whether you're binging because you've come off the meds. And of course, your appetite's going to come back and the meds have suppressed your appetite. And if you haven't eaten enough in that day, you are going to be really hungry. So we want to look at that as well. But is it the fact that you've come off the meds, or is that a time of day that's really dysregulating for your ADHD brain? Because I have so many ADHD clients who, whether they are on medication or not, binge at that time of day. Because we've been at work. We have had overstimulation in terms of sound. We've had overstimulation in terms of light. Often offices have really intense lighting, but even just, even if you work outside, there's intense, you know, you can be overwhelmed by that light. So auditory overstimulation, visual overstimulation, getting your kids to bed.
I was going to say physical overstimulation with being touched out.
Absolutely. Mm. By the time my kids go to bed, I am going to have to do something that regulates me. And if I don't embrace things that regulate me, then that's going to be binge eating because it helps to regulate me. And I want you to have no shame about using food to regulate. Mm-hmm. We just want to think about if we're doing that every day and it's starting to not feel good, or we're getting things like reflux and we just don't want to be going to bed and feeling that reflux and those sorts of things. Is there something else that we can do to regulate ourselves as well as have something that is, you know, eating food for pleasure or for a stim as well?
Okay.
Like going and lying on a hard floor and getting that deep pressure input, you know, right after my kids go into bed for the 200th time and finally fall asleep.
Yeah.
I lie down on the hardwood and I just get that deep pressure input.
Yeah.
If I don't regulate myself, then I'm going to go into having my sweet food at the end of the night, eating those pleasurable foods, which are non-negotiable. We have to eat those pleasurable foods. Pleasurable foods are fun and an important part of life.
Mm.
But I will go into eating those pleasurable foods in a state of sensory panic.
Yes.
And I will be sensory panicking rather than if I go and do my lie down on the hardwood, maybe go and have a cold shower.
Mm.
For me, it's a hot shower. Some people, it's a cold shower. I don't know why I said cold shower first. I would never do that at night. But for some people, that's what's regulating.
Mm.
I might take some time out with some noise cancelling headphones.
Mm.
And then I will go and have that pleasurable food and enjoy that with my partner while we watch something or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But thinking about am I using the food to regulate me? Which is absolutely fine as well. We don't want to put shame on stimming with food, but just knowing and understanding that we might be using food to regulate us is something that a lot of ADHDers don't understand.
Yep.
Because typical binge eating can mean that we are unable to suppress we don't want to feel an emotion, and therefore we can eat to distract, and we don't want to have to ride that wave of that emotion. In ADHD, it's sort of semi-emotional eating, but it's often caused by, and we can have that as well. Obviously, everyone's different. There's whole different things that will come up, but it can often be that we're physically overstimulated.
Yeah.
And that's what's leading to us feeling that need to emotionally eat, but it's more of a regulation. So it's due to physical things.
So like in the same way that somebody who's having emotions rise up that they're uncomfortable with might eat to push the emotions down.
Yep.
You're saying that we're having sometimes physical dysregulation that can be like jitters, or it can be like sort of a panicky feeling, or it can be like feeling touched out, or just like your skin's crawling and you're just trying to eat to sort of like stamp that out. That can be an unconscious behavior.
Yes, yep. Absolutely. Yep. That's what I've found with my clients with ADHD, is that we can be physically overwhelmed. We go into that eating of pleasurable foods, which we're absolutely allowed to do, but in a state of we're not even really present in our lives because we're so dysregulated and we're in a panic, state of physical panic.
And back to that question about Vyvanse, because I mentioned the beginning of the episode that I've just started meds, and I have noticed even on my first day today that my appetite's been non-existent. Mm-hmm. I've really struggled to eat food.
Mm.
So what's the connection then if somebody has been undernourished through the day, they haven't really had regular meals? Like I found myself eating at 4 p.m. today because I totally didn't need to eat until 4, but, you know, my body did, but I didn't notice.
Oh, I'm glad you caught yourself there. I say to Grace, and I said to her before she started meds, just because we don't feel physically hungry when we're on meds, it doesn't mean that we're not biologically hungry.
Yeah.
So the body still needs energy. It still needs protein, carbohydrates, fat. We still need our micronutrients, our vitamins and minerals to function.
Yeah.
If we're taking an appetite suppressant, it doesn't mean that our legs are no longer moving and using energy. It doesn't mean our brain's no longer using energy. We still need to turn over ourselves. We still need to do everything. We're just not going to feel that message, that interoceptive message. We're not going to feel that from our body.
Yeah.
So
my question is then, if I haven't felt hungry signals, even though my body did need food during the day and I didn't eat till 4, and then I did eat dinner with my family, but you know, that's a 4 p.m. meal, a 7 p.m. meal. It gets to 10 p.m. and I'm like binging and eating all of these like, you know, high energy, like high sugar foods. Am I doing that because I want to replenish the lack of food that I had throughout the day? Like, is there a direct link there?
So firstly, we don't need to refer to foods as high sugar foods. And I'm only saying that because I just like to catch out any of that language, because we're so toxic with the language that we use around food and we don't even realize it.
Yeah.
So we can just say a sweet food.
Okay.
And because when we say sugar, there's so many, so much stigma associated with sugar, and people talk about it being toxic and those sorts of things. And really it's just refined carbohydrates and it just gets absorbed across the gut wall more quickly.
Yeah.
And so it spikes our blood glucose levels, sure. But when we eat a chocolate biscuit, we're not eating that for nutrition.
Mm.
We're eating that for pleasure, and that's also okay.
Mm.
If we were eating chocolate biscuits to try and get all of our nutrition, then we would start to become unwell because they wouldn't provide the nutrients that we actually need to survive as a human being.
Mm.
But we're not. We're having that to meet our pleasure. And on the same note, if we are trying to eat brown rice to meet our pleasure through food, we are also going to end up binging on actual pleasurable foods, because brown rice isn't going to fulfill our pleasure in eating, and we need to have that pleasure satisfied.
Right.
So yes, though, is the answer to your question. I have so many clients that don't realize if we don't eat regularly throughout the day, every 2 to 3 hours is what I suggest, we are going to get into that extreme hunger zone. And when we're in that extreme hunger zone, our brain is going to ask, I need my blood glucose to be corrected immediately. So it's not going to crave a whole wheat sandwich with hummus and vegetables that is going to take a long time because it's all complex foods. It's going to take a long time to break down, and therefore the sugars that we need to replenish that blood glucose are going to take too long to get across the gut wall because we have to digest them all. So it's going to send out signals for things that are really easy to digest. So things like chocolate, chips, ice cream. Not that there's anything wrong with those foods, but when we're hungry, we want to eat meals of food that contain carbs, protein, fat. We can have some chocolate or whatever it is alongside that, but those hunger signals, we need to satisfy that hunger with foods that are actually going to meet that hunger. But when we leave it too long, get too hungry, then the body goes into that mode of, I just need to eat and I need to eat now. And often if we start eating at that point, we're going to end up binging or eating past fullness, because we went into eating in a state of being too hungry.
Yeah. Okay, amazing. I feel like I have so many more questions.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people are going to have more questions. So if you have another food question or a food dilemma, or if you have any dilemmas that you want to ask us,
or you just want to send us a DM because you're cute,
you can send that to us via our website, ADHDbesties.com. Or you can slide into our DMs on our Instagram or our TikTok, which is at ADHD Besties Podcast.
On Instagram and ADHD Besties Podcast on TikTok.
That's right. And we would love to hear from you.
We need to hear from you. La, la, la,
la, la, la. So, shall we wrap up this episode today with an Reggie Seggie?
We always do.
We always do.
The one thing that is regular is that we always do the irregular.
Singular.
Singular. Always.
Okay. So do you have a name for this game today?
I do.
Mm.
I've worked really hard on this.
Have you?
Yeah. It's called Sayings That People With ADHD Hate.
That's catchy. I like it.
And I came up with that ages ago and not just in the last 10 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Clearly you've put a lot of thought. Okay. So sayings that ADHD is hate with the passion and fire of 1,000 suns.
Yes.
Even catchier.
Yeah, I'll bet. You're doing my job for me.
So I'm going to read you out one of mine first. So how we're going to do this is we've each prepared five-ish things that we hate. It gives us the ick, the cringe, and we're going to rate them for each other.
Like, okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being maximum ick.
Yeah.
1 being doesn't bother us.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So here is mine, my first one.
Mm.
When someone says, can we hop on a quick video call?
Why does that annoy you?
Or in brackets, when someone FaceTimes you out of the blue, so you haven't organized to talk to them.
Do not FaceTime me without warning.
Yes.
You can't start the call as a video. There's nothing more obnoxious.
Yes, I agree.
I might be sitting there plucking all of the hairs out of my right leg with a pair of tweezers. And I don't want to be answering your call.
Yeah.
I'll answer and talk.
Speaking of though, funny story. So this morning.
Yeah.
So every time we record a podcast, we stay overnight because we have a studio that we record in and it's 45 minutes from home.
Yeah.
So we have to stay overnight to make the whole thing worthwhile. So this morning we wake up and Tara's phone is ringing. Something's happening. And the funniest thing is that Tara smashed her phone screen yesterday. Yeah. So she's literally got half her screen is black and
funny
half
to
of
Grace,
it,
devastating to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So half of it's black, half of it's all like strange wiggly bars, but she can kind of hear through that and see.
I just realized the story you're telling.
Anyway, so I'm like stirring and like, what's happening? And Tara's fumbling around and her husband calls her and she's talking to Siri and being like, call Jesse, Siri, call Jesse. And like all this stuff's happening. And
call hubby babe, actually.
Call hubby babe. Anyway, hubby and babe. Then at some point Tara's like, crap. And she's accidentally FaceTimed
the bus driver
for the kids. And the bus driver's answered and Tara's still in bed. And I'm like next to her going, what the heck?
Because I can't hang up because I can't press the button.
She can't press the button. So her broken phone has FaceTimed her bus driver and the bus driver's answered and gone, oh, who's FaceTiming me? And you can hear all these kids shouting in the background and Tara's just got the phone facing the roof and I wanted to say, what's happening, Tara? But I said nothing. I shut my mouth because I thought she's going to kill me if I talk right now because this is meant to look like just an accident. It's a butt dial. So then Tara's like fumbling around and scratching
around. I didn't call her. The phone called her. You know that's when it starts so to do funny. Creepy yeah, things on its own because you've broken your screen?
Yeah. So anyway, that's I thought that was a relevant story considering how much we hate FaceTime. But that bus driver, she was ready for it. She did not hate the thought of someone randomly FaceTiming her. But what I did say before that was, can we hop on a quick video call? I just don't like it when you're talking to someone, messaging on email or whatever, and they're like, can we hop on a quick video call? Oh,
that never happens to me.
That has happened. And I'm just
I'm less fancy than you.
Can we just email about this? I'd love to continue this.
I'm a call person. Yeah. So I don't want to text back and forth. I'd rather just, hey, what are you doing? Where are we going? I don't want to have to think about it all.
Okay. So now let's rate this.
So that's a 1 out of 10.
That's a one. What about the FaceTiming one? That was part of it. So you have to find your average.
Very okay, technical. 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10.
Yeah.
For me, I'm going to say that's like a 9 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
I hate randomly being called by people. I hate random FaceTime. So it's a 9 out of 10. Mm. Ick. Not a fan. Okay. Your turn.
All right. Now I need to bring it up on here because I don't have a phone.
Tara's hobbling off the back of my piggybacking on my phone today.
Okay. Something that really irks me.
Mm.
Early bird catches the worm. I hate that saying. I hate that saying.
Yeah, it's very also condescending.
When did we decide that healthy, happy, awesome people have to be people that get up early? Because I'm awesome and I don't like to get up early at all.
Yeah.
No.
Hence the story about the bus driver butt dial this morning when we were meant to be up.
Yes. And I
think it was like 9:30 a.m. that happened.
No, it was 8. But I just don't condone that getting up early is a virtue. You know, I get up early. And you know when people go,
I'm 5 a.m. club.
Oh, 5 a.m. club. And it's just such a beautiful time of day. And, you know, no one else is up.
Yep.
That sounds so boring. Don't do that. I love being around other people.
Look, if you love getting up early, we love that for you. What we don't love is
the shame of being a late riser.
Yeah. Anyone who makes it feel like that's the only way to live and that if you are a sleeper-inner and a late night owl like we are, that you're somehow inferior. We don't enjoy.
We need to start changing the narrative.
It's like,
had a fresh start today. So got up fresh and early, 11 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I caught no worms. But, you know.
I don't want to catch worms.
Yeah.
Be honest, worms are disgusting. I love them in a worm farm or garden, whatever they're called. Great.
Yeah.
Give them the scraps. Thank you so much, worms. But
maybe I never wanted to catch worms, but what are we catching if we're up late at night? What's our equivalent?
Catches the dopamine.
Catches the
the late bird catches the STD. No, the late bird catches another couple of episodes of their favorite show.
That's right. That's right. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And we love that for us.
Good job, Nightbird.
Nightbird.
Good job, Nightbird.
Nightbird just sounds lame.
Late bird. The late bird? Who cares? Anyway. Okay, moving on.
Moving on. We got very
sidetracked. Rated out of 10. Quick.
I've actually forgotten what it was now. I got so distracted. We don't like it. Okay. All right. The next one is when you're in a work meeting in a creative brainstorm or at an analytical work meeting and they say, let's flesh out.
I don't mind moist, but flesh I don't want to hear.
Let's flesh out this idea.
Let's flesh it out.
No, I don't want to flesh it out.
I don't want to flesh anything out.
What do you rate that? 1? 10?
That is a 20 out of 10.
20 out of 10, yeah, I agree.
Let's flesh it out.
Off the charts. Okay. Next one, your turn.
Okay. Oh, this is my favorite. Oh, I wear many hats. I wear many hats. I hate when people say that.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. It's lots of different things and I'm like, I don't know where any of my hats are and I wear none of them. I should because slip, slop, slap, sun protection. Yeah, but
the more hats, the better.
Do people from other countries know what slip, slop, slap is? Slip on a hat. Is it? Slip on a hat. Slop on some sunscreen. No. Slap on a shirt. No, not slap on a shirt. Slip on a shirt. Yes. No. Slip on a shirt.
Slop on some sunscreen. Slap on a hat.
Slap on a hat. That's our sunsafe message, you guys.
Wow.
And it obviously didn't work very well.
Very catchy and memorable. Okay. Okay. So what was the one you just said? Wear many hats.
I wear many hats.
What do we rate that one?
Oh, it's just stupid. It's just,
I think that's like a 7 for me on the irritation
scale. It is, yeah. No,
7.
Okay, your turn. We're going to do one more each.
Okay. All right. I hate it when people say, I was just in the neighborhood and thought I'd pop in.
Oh, all of these are the same. Grace just doesn't want unannounced interaction.
I do not. I like to be very well prepared. I don't know what kind of person thinks it's appropriate to pop anywhere unannounced.
I know what you mean. It's because we mask, right? It's yeah. Like I'm in my at-home mask and she is festy.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to see her.
Yeah.
She's just for me.
Just no, gratuitous no, no, no. And uncalled for no. And
you're gonna
highly
let me know.
Invasive.
You got to let me know.
So that to me is
2 weeks
a,
in
that's
advance.
A 10 for me. What's it for you? What's your rating?
No, I don't like people to pop in. I really don't.
Yeah.
Oh, it depends on the person though. It's a little bit of a, it's a bit, yeah, it really depends on who it is.
Yeah.
Like my mum, pop in. That's fine.
Yeah. No, I'm talking more like acquaintance, neighbour, distant
definitely
relative.
Definitely not acquaintance. Like work especially
colleague.
Someone that you've just met and you really like want to build a friendship with.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I'm so tired right now. I can't mask.
Yeah.
And like, you know, cause we, I like to, I don't know if it's healthy thinking or unhealthy thinking. I don't know, but I like to kind of have my mask on and then drop it slowly once I feel like I can trust the
person.
Yeah,
I think most people feel similarly.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And I can't see you unmasked suddenly when I'm at home.
Yeah.
No. I'm not really festy at home. I just realized I said that before and I'm like, I'm going to RSD about saying that. I'm not.
I'm just saying that the person was festy.
No, I just like.
What a great
I go
word.
Into my own world.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we function in the same way that a neurotypical person would function at home. Like I'm like, brah, straight off.
Like, yeah. No, you're comfortable.
I just.
Yeah.
That kind of person. I just need to be, I have to get out of my uncomfortable, like jeans. Fine all day, out of the house, jeans, totally fine. As soon as I put my hand on the doorbell, jeans become the most uncomfortable thing in the world and I have to get them off immediately.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know. And I have to get my makeup off and I have to just
tie my hair up.
Yeah, or I have to take my hair out and I just, I can't, I put a headband in. I just want to be in a state of not feeling anything.
Yeah. Complete comfort. Okay.
Okay, final one. Okay, so my final one, my least favorite phrase.
Yes, tell me.
A penny saved is a penny earned.
Oh, I hate that one.
Because I think ADHD brains can have areas that they, I think neurotypical brains often, this is very generalized, but often can be quite good at many different things. They wear many hats. And we often will only wear a few less, we'll wear less hats and we can be really, really good in certain areas, right? And so I actually think, like when I am working, for me to have someone come in and help me with the cleaning, whatever we can budget for at the time, you know, whether it's once a fortnight, once a month, once every couple of months to do a deep clean, that is so helpful to my life.
To your mental health.
To my mental health that it means that I can work harder in the things that I'm good at.
Yeah.
And because it's so, it takes so much of my mental energy to do that. And obviously we don't all have that privilege. And currently I'm not in a place where I'm getting someone in to help me with cleaning at the moment, but in the past I have, and it's been so helpful.
Yeah.
And I think for the ADHD brain, those sorts of things, like getting someone to help us out with those things that we find extra tough can be really important.
Yeah.
I like we were talking about with those Doom boxes, you know, and Ren, who was struggling with the organization.
Yeah.
Investing in something that you really like the look of.
Yeah.
So that then you put things away means that whenever you go into your workspace, you're in a way better space. You don't feel visually overstimulated. You are able to focus more on your work and you get more, I don't want to say more bang for your buck because that's another saying that I hate.
You said it.
But then, on that note.
Okay. I think we've proved our point is that we, people who live in glass houses should not throw
stones. No, that is low hanging fruit.
On that note.
I hate that saying. Okay. On that note.
On that note, I think we're done with this episode.
Yeah, we are. Please, if you want to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast.
It's low-hanging fruit.
No, it would. It actually is high-hanging fruit, and it means the world to us.
It does. We understand how much executive functioning it takes.
We do.
To open up your app, to go to our page, to scroll down and leave a
press
review.
A little plus. I hate doing that, but...
It just makes our days.
It does.
And it motivates us to keep going because you know what it's like being an ADHD and not being motivated.
So thank you to those who have already subscribed and downloaded the apps. We love
and left
you
reviews.
And left reviews and sent in dilemmas. Your dilemmas. It's just been a whirlwind.
It has.
Of a month, and we just feel so, so happy. So thank you so much for your response to this, guys. And we will see you all next Thursday.
Yes,
we will. Our next app. And this time we are going to bring something juicy. No, we always bring something juicy.
Always, always. But yes, sending you dilemmas if you want them in for next week's episode. And... love you.
Love you too. Don't RSD.
Don't you RSD. This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri Boodja land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. It's integral that we acknowledge the original owners of the land, seas and waterways in Australia, and that we remember the devastation that happened on this land to validate the history of Australia's Indigenous people and to ensure devastation like this never happens again.